her father and her sister and brother and my father and then me until my aunt, my mother's sister, got married and moved to Dayton, Ohio. And my uncle ended up in the service in World War II, which was an enormous worry for everybody. That whole, he was there in there for the whole horrible length of that war. Anyway,
I was all right though.
Yeah, he's from California. And his wife is the, she's responsible for art. I have his wife is a Pittsburgher, originally a Pittsburgher, Lois Green, and she did the scenery and the for a lot of shows, including American in Paris and Around the World in 80 Days. She designed the elephant and the balloon and the original shows, not the repeats. She's a talented artist. And they're retired and live in a place called Paradise, California. My mother's brother, baby brother. And anyway, college was a revelation to me. I was a very sheltered, very naive young girl who'd gone all the way, don't forget, in a girls' school and then to a girls' college. And while I'd had a boyfriend here in Pittsburgh, it was never anything really serious. And the, it was just amazing to me. That there were all these girls who were beautiful and smart. I thought you either were beautiful or you were smart. At least I got good grades. And here were all these terrific looking people. I was that was fascinating, and the place was gorgeous and very challenging. And I feel today that that education has enabled me, opened doors for me, and been very contributory to what I've been able to do in recent years, because you were a person and with abilities, and you were an individual, and the fact that you were a woman was not a problem in that wonderful atmosphere. And they expected you to do your best, and it was fascinating. And they also insisted on everybody had to take a history of religion course from, I forget what it was called now, something religion. And the first semester was the Old Testament, and the second semester was the New Testament. And I happened to have a fabulous professor who was a Unitarian. And he made us write a one page, what is the meaning of my life? And boy, that's not easy. And lo and behold, the Kaddish. I mean, these things, what is important? I mean, how you live on in the minds and hearts of those who love you is really what it comes down to, how you should conduct your life. It focused me, college, Wellesley. I was very, very lucky to have had that experience.
Exactly. How did your experiences in undergraduate in school and your graduate work, how did that affect the way you raised your children?
Well, my father said that when I was in college, he said I was practically a communist. I don't know where it came from, but I certainly, at that stage in my life, was very liberal and very, I thought, principled. And we laugh now. Fortunately, my children are nice people. And we laugh now because I made them go to school at Alderdice, wherever they were, if they didn't go to temple, they had to go to school. Were not allowed to take off any Jewish holidays unless they went to temple. And, you know, in those days in Alderdice in the 1960s, you know, everybody took off for every holiday nobody'd ever heard of. And not my kids, at least not to my knowledge. And I started my daughter off at Road of Sholem, and because they did not agree with me, oh, that was so arrogant, on how a child should donate money each week, I thought they should give very tiny amounts from their own money, not money that I handed them to give each week. I didn't think that would teach them anything. I got into this big hassle with them and took my kids out and sent them to Hillel for a couple years, till finally my daughter, who had more sense than I did, said to me, "Mother, can't I please go back to Rosh Hashanah with my friends?" And she did, and she was confirmed for Rosh Hashanah. That's the kind of rebel I was. I mean, I had these cockamamie principles that I was, you know, and who suffered for them? My kids.
No, they suffered for it. I think they may probably gained a great deal.
They probably did.
Standing up for what you believe.
They both went to Taylor Alderdice?
Well, my daughters graduated from Taylor Alderdice and then went to Penn. My son, it turned out, we did not know it at the time, had dyslexia and had a tremendous amount of school problems. And after he was at Alderdice for the first year, we had had him all over the city being tested.
They didn't know about that.
They didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. Finally found a Dr. Yadoff who put it all together, and he said, "You better get him out of Alderdice. He will be at that wall and in trouble, because he's got these learning disabilities." And he did. He would just sit in the room. He never caused any trouble, but he would sit there and do nothing. So we sent him away to a school in outside of Philadelphia called Phelps, where he had a very hard time. He was picked on terribly for being Jewish. These boys' prep schools are tough. And but we stuck it out with advice. I'll take the credit for sending him away, but my husband gets the credit for keeping him away the length of time that was required. And we told him that if he did buckle down and if he made these extra efforts that he had to make, he could come back to Pittsburgh. And he went to Kiske, where he graduated from Kiske, and had held him back a year, which was not easy, because this child is 6'8.5" tall. He's probably the tallest Jewish kid you've ever met. He's not a kid anymore, he's 33 years old. But he, it's hard. People expect a lot from you when you're that big. And he had a rough time. And there were times that there was no question he hated me. He hated me. And we can laugh about it today, because now he understands why we did what we did. And then he went off to the University of South Florida and ended up in the retail drugstore business. He's a nice kid.
Do they have any particular talents?
Well, I could show you the tape of the show they did for my birthday.
What do you mean?
My Sylvia and I had a 60th birthday party. Had a big party, and my kids did a show. My kids and my husband did a show for me.
Love.
It was cute. It was wonderful. Talents. My son-in-law is a crackerjack tennis player. My daughter is very busy being a mother and working full-time and having all the pressures and problems that that entails. My granddaughter just graduated from the baby room to the two-year-old room at daycare, where she now gets to sleep on a mat instead of in a crib, and she's trained. Daycare did all that. She had all the ear infections and things that go along with
daycare.
They have that when they're home, too.
Yeah. And she's done, it's been a wonderful experience. We were very lucky. She had the first year that we had somebody at the house to hold her and take care of her. And then she went to daycare last fall, and it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. She's done, they teach them all everything. It's fabulous.
They mature so early.
They sure do. She knew how to eat out when she was an infant.
Before they really know how to read, they're handling menus.
That's right. That's right. Now let me see. Talents. No, I can't say that they have any specific talents.
You are involved in the city.
Very much so.
And culturally and politically?
Well, now you pick two words that I wouldn't use either of those words. Because I'm a participant in the cultural activities. I go to them, but I'm not active in any of those organizations. And politically, I always say that I can't take a political stand because I need the goodwill of whoever happens to be in office for any of the projects that I'm involved in.
Tell us how you went back in the beginning of everything for you.
Well, I worked full-time from 1963 to 1971. And in a effort to...
Where?
In the shoe business on Walnut Street. First at Papagallo and then at Someone. And shoes are in the blood.
Orange Schneider's my cousin.
Well, Shakurin was my boss for many years, and we're good friends, very good friends. I was just down with her in...
her new place.
Yeah, beautiful. When I stopped working at a Wellesley Club meeting, it was funny. Marion Weiss Cohen said, "You really ought to get involved in Call for Action." And I said, "Sounds interesting." And the next thing I knew, Moss had me on the phone and would, "How about I'd like to go down there the next day?" I think she had me down there. And KDK Call for Action is an information and referral service. And to make a very long story short, that was the beginning, and it ended up with my being on the national board of Call for Action and in charge of the Midwest region, which involved a certain amount of traveling to different communities. I had 13 cities, 13 Call for Actions that I was responsible for. Yeah, then volunteer basis.
What's that? You were on the national board and...
The Midwest region director. So I was very accustomed through all that Call for Action activity to calling around the country and seeing how different programs worked in different cities and what was available and what was happening. And I had just gone off the board of National Call for Action when I was at a Community Relations Committee of the United Jewish Federation meeting. And the word came down that the big board at Federation wanted to be involved in something to help the unemployed. This was 6 years ago.
7 years ago, really. And Margie Weiner, who's also a Call for Action volunteer, and I were both there, and we both said, boy, we've had a real increase in calls on utilities. Real people are having really terrible problems now with their utility bills. And we knew that there was a fuel fund in Baltimore. And maybe we could do something about a fuel fund. So, this Michael Bierman, who was a staff there at that time, said to me, you know, see what you, follow up on that. Well, I did. I followed up. I happened to have the time. I had finished doing the National's Call for Action stuff, and I started calling. And the first person I spoke to was a gal from that I had worked with first at Consumer Credit Counseling, and who was then at the Pittsburgh Office of the Public Utility Commission. I said, you know, what about fuel funds? And she sent me every bit of information she had in her files. And I proceeded to call anybody who'd ever heard of anything about a fuel fund around the country. And that's how Dollar Energy got started. We had Michael had a file of all the other groups and organizations in Pittsburgh. And I was aware that coalitions were an extremely valuable way to get something done. And I had done the research, and we called a meeting of all these different groups. Every group you can think of, the Episcopalians and the Methodists and the Catholics and the Junior League and the Urban League and the League of Women Voters. And you name it. We sent them an invitation to come to lunch at Federation and hear about the problems that people were having with their utilities and what we thought could be done to solve it. And I had the people who were administering in Allegheny County, any of the low-income energy assistance funds. And they made their presentations, and after that, we in effect said, you know, who wants to help with this? And very luckily, the people who volunteered to help, who stayed and signed up to help, and then we called subsequent meetings, were just great people. They knew the need because they're out there. Judy Marker from East End Cooperative Ministry.
What's her name, Judy?
Judy Marker.
Marker.
And Barry Masiak, who was then with the Catholic Diocese. And Mark Peterson, who was then with an organization called PAGE, P-A-J, capital P-A-J, the Pennsylvania Alliance for Jobs and Energy. And Sam Gibson from the Methodist Union. And Phyllis Armstrong from the League of Women Voters. Etc. There were an Aaron Sachs from Helpline, and there were more. And we put together what we thought we wanted from the utilities. It was one of those wonderful situations where ignorance is bliss. I had no idea what really was involved. I had no idea what anybody had tried to do in this area previously. I just, you know, fools rush in, and I rushed in, and it was just, I was in the right place at the right time. It was something that was very much needed, and in fact, Duquesne Light, which was the first utility to embrace this, wanted to do something like this. Now, what they wanted to do and what we insisted that they do were quite different, but it in fact had the same result, and which was to help low-income people with their utility bills.
What was their idea?
Well, they would have preferred They certainly did not want to add the dollar on and do any of the stuff that involved the data processing system. They fought us tooth and nail. They certainly did not want to match us dollar for dollar. They would have been happy to match us 50 cents on the dollar or whatever. Which is typical in a lot of places in the country. There was a lot of little things like that that we were insistent on. And I particularly was insistent on the add a dollar ability, because they said, you have this fabulous fundraising campaign, and after we do it, and it's over and it's gone, nobody's going to remember. If you don't do something on that bill that people are reminded every month, it'll just be a total waste of money.
That's right.
And it worked, and we have been, the figures are all in that pamphlet I gave you. We gave away over $1.75 million last year, and we'll do better than that this year. And while other fuel funds in the country are crying the blues right now, we're booming because we gained the confidence of the utility people and of the government people, the Public Utility Commission. So now every time one of the utilities does a no-no, we get the fine. they give us the money. Or they have a refund they're supposed to give, and there's always money left over from a refund from people who died or moved out of town. They give it to us for some sort of a special program, because all our money goes back to the utility. But it's been very satisfying. Combine the whole Dollar Energy experience with the fact that I was very involved at the same time, actually prior to this, with the Whale's Tail, which is the organization for abused teenagers, neglected teenagers. And that put me in the position of being really involved with the homeless in Pittsburgh, in Allegheny County, because both organizations have a great deal to do with that problem. That we have the only shelter for children in Pittsburgh is run by Whale's Tail for homeless kids. And inability to pay utility bills is one of the major causes of homelessness. So I've been on the steering committee for the homeless in Allegheny County. So politically, you were right when you asked your question a little bit. Politically, Tom Forster knows who I am.
You can't separate it.
Yeah, you do. You're right. You're right. Although I try. And Senator Hines, I try, because I don't want to ever do anything to get one party or the other angry.
You found them cooperative?
Yes. I think we're very lucky to live in Allegheny County. We have more services here than most places.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
We don't have a way of comparing, but you know.
Well, I've been from all these other call for actions. Yeah. We have a lot of services. We have the largest senior citizen population in Allegheny County outside of down south.
What other type of utility do you handle outside of the energy? Anything?
We do gas and electric.
Just gas
and electric. And we have six utilities. We have Duquesne Light and West Penn Power, which for most Pittsburghers, they're not familiar with West Penn Power, but it's bigger than Duquesne Light. We have Equitable Peoples and Columbia Gas, which is sort of an interesting story. I'll tell you about it. And then T.W. Phillips, which is a little company up in Butler area. The fun thing for me with the Columbia setup is that Columbia does not do what the other utilities do. It gets the money that we get money to give to Columbia customers through the Citizens Energy Corporation, which is a Kennedy owned and run company. So that when they want, we gotten $300,000 to $350,000 a year from this. The deal is that Columbia buys gas from Citizens Energy, and Citizens gives the profit to Dollar Energy to give to Columbia customers. That's a simplification of it. And as a result, I got to meet the young Kennedys.
That sounds fascinating.
It was. They came into Pittsburgh, the guy that's now the congressman, Joe, and his brother, Michael. And we had a press conference, and Commissioner Forrester and Mayor Calegari all showed up for this, and it was just fascinating to see people's reaction to anybody that has that name.
What do you mean? Tell us.
Well, they were just enthralled. And Commissioner Forrester, you'd have thought I gave him the biggest present anybody could ever give him. He said to these young guys, I mean, these are young men, welcome to Kennedy Country. And you could see he was beaming, and the mayor showed up. I mean, these kids were here just to present the check. I mean, they want PR, and I'm sure that this young man is going to run for president someday. And they know how to work an audience. That was fascinating. And how to watch them come in, and he didn't go anywhere near the first row. I have a feeling that that's something to do with security. Immediately walked up to people sitting in the second row, and they were all my agency people and relatives and assorted people. And he'd say, I'm Joe Kennedy, who are you? And I mean, everybody would just, oh, you know, there's this glamour.
Yeah, amazing.
It is. It really is. But it's a wonderful thing they're doing. And they, you know, most of the time, most people don't know about it.
That's right. Never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. It's been, they do a big plan in Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
I happen to know.
Oh, yes. Massachusetts, unfortunately, they now lost their deal with the Nigerian government, so they can't provide the oil for Massachusetts that they were doing in the past. I hope nothing goes wrong with the deal, because I would not want to go to battle with Colombia. Their head offices are in Columbus, and it's pretty hard to use community clout when the corporation's offices are out of the city.
Are you involved in, I realize this is a tremendous project.
Yes.
Are you involved in anything socially or culturally in the city, the neighborhood?
I'm still a member of the board. I was a president of the board of the Whale's Tail for 4 years, and I'm now the head of the nominating committee or whatever. Still a board member. I'm on the steering committee for the homeless in Allegan County.
What is that? What is it?
Can you tell us something?
Well, that's been fascinating. They pull together and they have meetings every few months of all the agencies that have anything to do with homeless in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's the city, departments in the city, or the county, like mental health, or emergency services, or whatever. All those bureaucrats are there, as well as the providers of help, such as all the different religious ministries and people who run shelters. Everybody comes to these big meetings. Well, that was sort of unwieldy when it came to actually having making some decisions. So they put together a steering committee that was made up of some key people. I was the only volunteer person on it, and I am the only volunteer person on it. And we made a lot of the major decisions that you couldn't possibly do in a group of 60 or 70. For example, we believe in our area in separate sites for the homeless, as opposed to warehousing everybody in one situation. We feel the kids would prey on the elderly, and the elderly it just would be a bad scene. So we have scattered sites throughout Allegheny County. They are mainly run by, they're usually in a church or Salvation Army or Light of Light Mission, and Whale's Tail has the shelter for the kids. We made the decisions on contacting the police and getting them knowledgeable about where the different shelters were. We had to make the decision on the homeless who are drunks. How are you going to do that? Nobody wants to transport them. Even the police, it's a nightmare.
End of side two, tape one, continued on tape two.
Different neighborhoods, because this was all very temporary, to open shelters and help them. And we had the housing people and the